Okay, you're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg. We are up to Amud Lamed Gimel Amud Beis Maseches Brachos. So we are three lines down, the two dots, and we had just discussed the Havdalah in Tachanantanu, or do Alakos, Halakha Maisa. As the Gemara concludes, we do both. And just so one quick plug, I mentioned in the WhatsApp group, but there's this the new Rischa de Raisa WhatsApp group, which is part of the Oraisa Amud V'Chazara program. If you send in questions that you have, like you could post in the WhatsApp group, or you could send an email, and then so they take the top 10 questions. They're going to send them out to everybody who's part of this Amud V'Chazara program, and then the top 10 questions will be entered in a raffle for $100. So that's cool. We ask a lot of questions throughout the shiurim, so it'd be good for me to actually write some of them down and send them out when I get a chance. Okay, so anyway, let's take a look. And anybody who's listening to the shiur, who's not part of the usual, which is not a lot of people, but you can please feel free to reach out, and I'll send you the link to the WhatsApp group or the email address, or you can go to the Oraisa website, I think at oraisa.org or something like that. Okay. Let's start. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahodas. So Rabbi Eliezer is one of the three opinions in our Mishnah that we quoted regarding when to say the Havdalah in Shmona Esrei. We said there are three opinions. Either it's in a Tachanan Tanu, that's the opinion of the Rabbanan, or it's a bracha b'fnei atzma at the beginning. It's the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei, the beginning of the whole bracha. That's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Eliezer says you should say it in modim. So Rabbi Eliezer Amar Bahada, Rabbi Zeira Hava Rachiv Chamro. Rabbi Zeira was riding on donkey. Hava Kashakil Vazur Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Basrei. Rabbi Chia Bar Avin was going on behind him. Amar Lei, he said to him, Vadai Damritu b'shmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Is it true that you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'yom tov shechol yos achar Shabbos, that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer when yom tov follows Shabbos? Right. So just to clarify that opinion, so generally we'll hold that it's that you say it in atachonim, right? The bracha of bina. That's how we hold. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. However, when Shabbos goes into Yom Tov, and now it's no longer Shabbos, and now it's Yom Tov. I didn't say that before?
Right.
Yeah. No. So yes. So the problem is we're not going to have the bracha of Bina. So what are you supposed to do? So apparently he heard that he said in the name of Yochanan that halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, that now you should say it in modim, because there's no atachonein bracha bina to say it in, so you should say it in behoda instead. Oh, here we go. Okay. Amar lei, indeed, that is true. That is what I said, that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. We are about five lines from the two dots. So again, Rav Chia Bar Avin was following Rav Zeira, and he asked him, is it true that you said that Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer regarding Atachan Antanu, saying Atachan Antanu in modim in a situation where Yom Tov immediately follows Shabbos, and there's no bracha of Bina? And he said, yes, that's true. So halacha, when the Gemara just interjects over here, halacha michlal depligi. If you say the halacha is in accordance with somebody, that implies that there's a machlokas, velo pligi. But there is no machlokas. What do you mean halacha is in accordance with somebody? There's no machlokas here. V'ha pligi rabbanan. No, but didn't we read in the Mishnah that the Rabbanan argue? Emor de pligi Rabbanan b'shar yimos hashana. No, the Rabbanan would only argue the other days of the year. B'yom tov shechol yos achar Shabbos mi pligi. But the Rabbanan would agree, meaning you don't just say halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbanan will agree with him. So what does he mean halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer? Wait, hold on. V'ha palig Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva does argue. So the Gemara responds, Atu kol shana kula miavdiran k'Rabbi Akiva. Is it true that the entire year we do like Rabbi Akiva, dahashta niku v'navid k'vasein, that now we're going to like establish it and do in accordance with Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, it seems to be, and we asked a similar question a couple of blot ago regarding the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, when we were talking about, I think it was a discussion. Oh, no, it was also about the Tachlin Tana discussion, I believe. But so what we're saying is, it seems to be that like we kind of immediately discredit Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Meaning, it's almost like becomes like a non-factor, at least by this point. Why? So the Gemara is going to explain what's wrong with it. Kol shana kula, my time alone, dinan k'Rabbi Akiva. Why is it that the whole entire year we don't follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Why? D'tamni sari tikun, tish sari lo tikun. Because the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, they established an 18 bracha Shmona Esrei, not a 19 bracha Shmona Esrei. So just to clarify, this is lav dafka, right? Meaning, because we also know that we do have 19 brachos. So it means 19 and not 20, l'maisa for us. So that's why, hachanami, here also, even on a Motsai Shabbos, or Motsai Shabbos is still Yom Tov, shav tikun, tamni, lo tikun. We've established that Shabbos and Yom Tov have seven brachos in a typical Shabbos or Yom Tov Shemana Esrei. Not eight. So we're not going to say bracha b'fnei atma. So now it seems to be that there's no machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi and the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan, whose opinion is that you say it in atachonin, we don't have atachonin, so they would never say that. And regarding Rabbi Akiva's opinion, it seems that like we don't even consider like a machlokes, because we have so thoroughly rejected Rabbi Akiva's whole approach that we don't even like consider it a machlokes to say that halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer as opposed to whom? Rabbi Akiva? Of course it's Rabbi Akiva. That's what it seems to be. Which is a little bit surprising to me. I would still expect you to say, okay, it's a machlokes. I mean, what do we really reject Rabbi Akiva so much, but okay. I guess like that for Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yochanan's time, which is a little bit of a while after the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan lived well after them. He was the first generation Amora. They were like a few close to not the last generation of Tanaim. But yeah. So that's what the Gemara seems to say at this point. Okay, Amar Le, he said to him. So he said, Lav halacha itmar. It's not true. You said that Rabbi Yochanan said it was halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. It's not true. Ella matin itmar. Rather, we are inclined to follow Rabbi inclined to find Rabbi Eliezer, but it didn't say that halacha is fully in accordance with him. So Rashi just explains what that means. Rashi says halacha, man damar halacha darshinan la beperkin. The one who says that it's halacha, that we said that he said halacha is like him, so that means that we darshin it in perikin. Meaning like when we give a halacha shir, we quote it. This is the halacha. Man damar matin, one who says that we're inclined. So mitrish lo darshinan berabim. We don't like, you know, darshin it berabim and put it in all the halacha safe svarim. Aval orayim morinan liyachid laasos k'rebi Eliezer b'yom tov shecholios but rather we instruct an individual who comes to ask us. So we say, if you want to know, I think you should do like Rabbi Eliezer. But we don't. It's not like a bona fide halacha. Okay, and then Rashi just continues. Mandamer nirin, and someone who says nirin, orai nami lo marinan. There's a lashon of it appears to be this in a court that we should do like this rabbi. So that's even less, that we don't even like instruct an individual. The avila lo mahadrin ovda. But if he did that, right? Meaning, if we say, if it's like, let's say someone said nirin halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer, nirin k'Rabbi Eliezer, that it looks like it should be like Rabbi Eliezer, but it's not even, it's less than inclined and less than halacha is like him. So we don't tell somebody to do it. Not only in a shir, even on an individual basis. However, if somebody does it, we don't correct them, say, oh, you really should do something else, because we said nirin k'Rabbi Eliezer. So we're gonna see that term. I mentioned that now because Rashi quoted it here, but we're gonna see this term used momentarily. Okay, so this was a discussion that he says no, Rabbi Yochanan did not say the halacha is in accordance, rather matin. We I don't think that has any bearing on the discussion before of is there a machlokas or not. They're not talking about that. I don't think. I think what it's saying is like halacha lemaisa. What are we supposed to do? How do we approach the Havdalah situation in Tefillah when Yom Tov immediately follows Shabbos. So what do we do? So don't say halachas like Rabbi Eliezer. Say matan like Rabbi Eliezer. At least that's what we're saying so far. So I'm really lav halachit mar ela matin mar deitmer Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, because Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said Amar Mishan Rabbeinu, and he said the name of Rav Rabbeinu, our Rabbi Rav, halacha. Halacha, the Amri La Matin, and some say it was Matin. So there are two different traditions. What Rabbi Yochanan said, or maybe I guess what Rav said. So that either he said Halacha or he said Matin. Rav might have said either one. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Modin. Rabbi Yochanan said Modin, meaning. Don't be confused. It doesn't mean that you say Atachan Antanu in Modim. Rather, it says that Modim, meaning like Modim Rabbanan to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning like it's halacha, but not, it's not really halacha. It's that they agree with him, that they concede in such a situation. So Modim means like indeed halacha is like him. So this is a quote again of Rabbi Yochanan saying that basically halacha. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Nirin. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that no, Rabbi Yochanan said nirin, which now is less than the status. So we should be a little bit confused here. What would be nice is just like a little bit of a organized chart of who said what and how we think they said it. So there are two different opinions of what it seems to be. What this is how I'm understanding it. There are two different opinions of what Rav said, of what Rabbeinu said. There's one that said Rabbeinu said halacha, and there's another that Rabbeinu said matin. And regarding Rabbi Yochanan, we also have several different traditions. One tradition is that he said modim, another is that he said nirin, and then another one is that he said matin, right? So what did Rabbi Yochanan actually say? Did he say modim, nirin, or matin? And of course, don't forget that the first thing we thought he said was halacha, right? He was right, Zera was on the donkey, and he corrected him. So we really have like possibly four different versions of the terminology Rabbi Yochanan used. We have two different versions of Rav and four different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan used. So what are we supposed to do? So Amar Rav Zera said, "Nakut Rabbi Chiya bar Abba biyadecha." Grab the opinion of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in your hands. Why? Didaik the gomer shmaita mipume demara. Because he is very medactic, he is very careful and meticulous when he learns a teaching from the mouth of his master, of his teacher, Shapir, to do it very well. Kirachva de Pumadisa, like the famous Rachva of Pumadisa, who is also noted for having this this mida of very, very careful attention to the language used. Da Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rachba, quote Rabbi Yehuda, Harabayis, Stav Kaful Haya, Harabayis had these benches folded, doubled over, double benches, Vahaya Stav, Lifnim Mistav, and there were benches in front of the benches. Right? So that's the quote of Rachba of Pumbedisa. Rashi explains that Kirachva Shahaya Medaktik Balashan Rabba, he was very careful about the Lashon of his teachers. Volmer Stav, he used the Lashon of Stav Kaful, Haya, Vahupisha Balashan Mishnah, Karahu Itztaba, Bipsachim, Ubisukka. Normally you would expect words like a word like Itztaba. He used a strange Lashon of Stav because he quoted the exact Lashon of his Rebbe. He was very careful. This Rachba was careful to do this. Now actually there's an irony that comes out in this Rashi, because Rashi then says, we don't even know which Rabbi Yehuda is it. Is it Rav Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda? Can't be Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Can't be Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, because Rachba Pumadisa never interacted with them. We know actually Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Shmuel and Rav, was the first Rosh Hashiva. He started Pumbedisa, so it wouldn't be surprising if it was Rav Yehuda. But there's a lack of clarity of what exactly is said here, ironically. But the bottom line is that Rachba of Pumbedisa was very careful about the Lashon of his Rebbe, and the same statement Rav Zera is saying about Rav Chiya bar Abba, and therefore, if Rav Chiya bar Abba says something, we have to trust that if he says the Lashon of Nirin, don't think it was a halacha. He heard it very accurately, and we should trust his opinion. Well, just a quick Rashi, which is a nice plug for Zichru. Shehu medaktik b'lashon rabu v'koveya basimanim. He was medaktik in his lashon of his Rebbe, and he set up for himself simanim, little mnemonic devices, shlo yischalef lo nirin b'matin o b'modim, so that he wouldn't mix up nirin, matin, and modim. And because of that, because of his simanim, because of his mnemonic devices, he was able to retain his Torah, and we trust him more than anybody else. So just the mila of you know, it's not like a you know, an outside of our Masorah thing to make up simanim. It's actually part of our tradition. In fact, we even started the daf, I think 2 days ago, with a right, seven simanim in a row, right? Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph at the bottom, I think it was, where we have simanim, but it's very much part of our Masorah to use them, and if you can use them effectively, then you get this tremendous reputation of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, that where we can trust you more than anybody else. Okay, back to the Gemara. Rav Yosef said, right, so Rav Yosef is a little bit later. Ana lo hayyadana velo hayyadana. I don't know that. I haven't heard of any of this business of when to do it. Elamid Rav and Shmuel yadana. I know Rav and Shmuel. What about Rav and Shmuel? Zitakinu la marganisa bebavel. That they made this, that they were metakein this pearl in Bavel. They made a tremendous thing, and it's called Vatodienu. Vatodienu is going to be a special tefillah. Rashi explains that we're not going to be saying it this year, but v'todienu lomar, says Rashi, but lomar b'makom v'titen lanu, that when you say v'titen lanu, that tefillah can shegia ben kedusha Shabbos to kedusha Yom Tov v'hule. So there's a special text that they invented, which is a unique havdalah that satisfies the requirements for a havdalah of leaving Shabbos and entering Yom Tov, right? When you make havdalah when it goes from a greater level of kedusha to a lesser level of kedusha. So Yom Tov into Shabbos, there's no havdalah to be made because you just, it's not from kodesh l'chol. It's a greater level of kedusha. It's a deeper level of kedusha. Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov though, so you have to make havdalah, but it's still kodesh, so it's being kodesh. So how exactly do you phrase it? So Rav and Shmuel came several generations before Rav Yosef and created a beautiful text. But Todienu Hashem Elokeinu, says the Gemara, Es Mishpatei Tzidkecha, and you have made known to us, Hashem our God, the laws of your justness, and you have taught us how to do the chukim of your ratzon. Right, and you've given us times of sason and rejoices of free will offering. And you've bequeathed to us the holiness of Shabbos and the honor of the Moed, the Chagigas HaRegel and the celebration of the Regel, Ben Kedushas Shabbos L'Kedushas Yom Tov. Between Kedushas Shabbos and Kedushas Yom Tov, Hivdalta, you've made a division. Ves Yom HaShvi, Misheshes Yimei Maisa, Hamaisa Kidashta, right, Kidashta. Hivdalta V'Kidashta Se'amacha Yisra V'Kedushas Secho V'Tzitnen Lanu V'Chulei. So you have separated between Shabbos and Yom, the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yom Tov, between the Kedusha of Shabbos and the days of the week, between the Jewish people and the rest of the world, in your Kedusha, you have made divisions. V'titin lano v'chu, like the Shemona Esrei continues, and so on. So we acknowledged everything we need to note about Havdalah, the importance of divisions in general, being Kodesh L'chol, acknowledging the Kedusha of Yom Tov, while acknowledging also that you're leaving the Kedusha of Shabbos, and everything is good in the world, and this is indeed what we do l'maisa. Okay, new Mishnah. Misnisan Homer al Kansipor. If somebody who says, okay, so these are things that Rashi just clarifies over here. This is a Mishnah that's also quoted, or at least partially, in Maseches Megillah. It deals with such a discussion. This Rashi is very important to understand the context of that Mishnah Megillah. Ha'omer b'tfilah, so somebody who's davening for the Amid and he says the following things that are inappropriate, we're going to shut him up. Ha'omer al Kansipor, somebody who says al Kansipor yigiyu rachamecha, Hashem your mercy reaches to the Kansipor, to the bird's nest. Or somebody who says V'al Tov Yizachar Shemcha, over the good your name should be remembered or mentioned. Or Modim, somebody who says thank you Hashem, Mishakin also, we quiet him, we shut him up. Okay, so all of these three things So Rashi just says, explains that people daven for the Amud. And back then, people used to freestyle a little bit more than we do nowadays when davening for the Amud. Nowadays, we have a very set text, not just these are the 18 things or 19 things you daven for, and this is the order you daven for them in. These are the ways you end off the bracha. But back right now, we have a full text word for word. But back then, there was a little bit more freestyle, and especially when it came to like slichos and things like that. So people improvised, but there's certain things that if they improvise, we take them down, right? We take the cane and like we'll pull them out of the, yeah, exactly. So what's wrong with these three things? So Bishlama modim. I get why if he says modim, he repeats modim meshakin or so. Why? Mishum de mechzikeshte reshuyos. It looks like there's two gods. Thank you to this god. Thank you to that god. So that's obviously inappropriate. And to God, you should be remembered for the good. You should be mentioned for the good. We should praise you for all the good that you do. Nami mashma ala tova velo ala ra. Also, the implication is that you thank God for the good and not for the bad. Of course, this is inappropriate, as the Gemara will state later on. V'tnan, the Mishnah, chayv adam levarech ala ra kishem shemavarech ala tova. We are obligated to thank God for the bad as we are for the good. But the Gemara there is going to explain the different brachos. There's bracha of hatova meitiv on the good, and hadayin hames on the what seems not to be good in this world. But we're supposed to praise God for the good and the bad. It's inappropriate to say otherwise. Ella al kan sipar yigi rachamecha my taima. What's wrong with saying that Hashem, your mercy extends to the kan sipar? Now, what this is referring to is the mitzvah of shiloh hakein. Sending away the mother bird, so it seems to be that we're sending away the mother bird because we don't want her to witness the horrifying traumatic scene of us taking her babies or her eggs, and therefore it seems to be that Hashem gave us this mitzvah to have mercy on the mother bird. So if you say that, you get up in tefillah and you're slichos, and then you say, Hashem, you have mercy on the birds, so too you should have mercy on us. So that's inappropriate, my time. So Pligi Batre Amorai, the two Amoraim who argue about this, Marava and Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Barav and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida, two Rabbi Yossis argue, Chad Amar Mipnei Shemato Kena B'Maaseh Bereishis. Because what you're doing is you are putting jealousy in Maaseh Bereishis. Your now creation is going to have a little bit of a fight. Says Rashi, Shemato Kena Lomar Al Eile Chas V'lo Al Shar B'Riyosav. So all of a sudden the dogs are going to say, hey, hold on, what was that? The birds get mercy? What about me? And all the animals are there's going to be a kinna placed in my separatius when you do this in tefillah. Okay, it sounds a little strange. Could use some explanation. I think I might have an essay that I wrote on this. I forgot based in Maseches Megillah or somewhere in Midrash Rabbah where it mentions this similar Shachlataria. So if you like, you can just post afterwards and I can see if dig up what I have in my notes. But that's the first answer. The second answer is also going to be a little bit troubling for us to see. Right? Because he makes the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says the mitzvos, midos of mitzvosav, right? That they're makes him rachamim. Ve'inon el gzeros, and they're actually gzeros. Don't think that the mitzvos are the mitzvos are acts of mercy of Hashem. They are gzeros. Rashi explains. Mitzvosa v'hu lo l'rachamim asa. He didn't do them for rachamim. Ela lahatil al Yisrael chukei gzerosav, to give them decrees chukim. Lahodia shehem avadav, to show that they're his servants. V'shomer mitzvosav gzeros chukosav. Right, vav b'divrayesh l'satan l'akum l'hashiv aleihem v'lomar matzorech b'mitzvozu. And there's also in the words of Chazal, there are like responses to the satan and to Goyim who ask about our mitzvos. So we have like responses, but really the mitzvah, the tam and mitzvos are not really the tam, says the same as Rashi explaining. The purpose of a mitzvah is that whether we understand it or not, we do it because Hashem is our king and we are his slaves. And to say otherwise would be inappropriate. Again, there are different interpretations of this Gemara and what this might mean. And don't we have Sefer Chinuch and we have Tanai and Mitzvos and we have such a concept where we discuss it at length, and it seems to be that God is very merciful, right? And we know that, right, Chol Nesivos Saha Shalom, Derech Ha'ar Dachinom, Chol Nesivos Saha Shalom, that the ways of the Torah are do create this Dachinom. So it could be that yeah, it's true at the end of the day, but there's something that is inappropriate about phrasing it like that. What could be learned. Again, this I'm pretty sure I do also have in my notes, so you can ask me afterwards and I'll give more of, a little bit more of a elaborate explanation for some of this. Okay, let us continue. Okay, now a couple of stories of people doing such things that we say you shouldn't do. Hahu dinachas, there was one person, dinachas kameh de Rabba, he went down in front of Rabba, meaning he went down to daven for the Amud, because it was from a lower place, mimamakim karasich Hashem, a lower place in the shul. So he went down in Rabba's yeshiva, Rabba's shul, v'amar, and he said, ata chasta al kansipor, you had pity on the kansipor, ata chus v'rachem aleinu, please Hashem, have mercy on us as well. How beautiful. And indeed, Rabba says, Amar Rabba, Kama yoda hait surbi merabanan. Wow, look how l'ratsuye lemare. Wow, look how much this young Yekolaman knows how to achieve the favor of his master. Wow, that was a tremendous job. Amar le Abaye. Abaye says to him, "V'hal mashakin osotznan." Did we learn a mishnah? You should shut him up. V'Rabba nami. Rabba also knew that. L'chadude le Abaye hu debaye. He was trying to sharpen Abaye. He wanted to see what Abaye would say. So I don't know how young Abaye was at the time of this story, right? But it could be that he was rather young and he wanted him to speak up at this point. I'm not sure. Could be there's something else, something deeper he wanted to sharpen Abaye. Maybe there's something very sharper here. But Rabba played it off as it was a nice thing, but actually he knew it was not appropriate. Another inappropriate story. There's someone who's davening for the Amun from Rabbi Chanina. Amar, and he said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanara, Vahadir, Vahazuz, Vahayaroi, Hechazok, Vahamitz, Vahavadai, Vahanichbad, Vahanichbad, right? So he says, the God who is great and strong and awesome and powerful and bold and feared and strong. Did I say that one yet? I kind of did. Powerful and courageous and certain and honorable. It's going on and on and on, almost like what we're going to say Adir Hu in a few nights. But this is not us down for the Amud, and this is the text we're using. But all these things are almost like Emes v'yatzav v'nachal v'kayam v'yosher v'nemun v'hav v'chav. Right? Sounds almost the same. But he's describing Hashem. He's saying Hashem, you are this. Himdin lo adesayim. So he checked his watch. Waited for him to finish. Kisai, and when he finished the merle, sentenu l'kulu shivchim tabarach. So no, you already finished praising your master. Lemeli kulehai, meaning he's being sarcastic. He's saying, he's saying that you already finished. I mean, if you're going to do that, I thought if you're going to extend that much, you should have extended eternally, right? Lemeli kulehai, why do you need all these? Anan we hani tchlas demrinahu. These three that we say, right? We call Hashem a kale. That's Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. These three that we say, Ilav demrinuhu Moshe Rabbeinu b'Araisa. If Moshe wouldn't have said them in the Torah first, right? Is the pasuk quoted here? I think Rashi quotes it. Yeah, Hagel Agibor Hanora Asher Lo Yisa Panim Lo Yikach Shochas. So Hashem had Moshe calls him that. Moshe didn't say that in the Torah. Va'asu Anshe Knesset Gedola Veisak Ninuhu B'Tfila. And then the Anshe Knesset Gedola would have come along later on and inserted them into Tfila. Rashi just quotes a pasuk in Nehemiah where these are mentioned, but also they made Shmon Esrei, right? So I had not been for Moshe Rabbeinu saying these three phrases, and then Anshe Knesset Gedola putting them into Tfila. Lo Hayivina Nechol Lamemar Lehu. We wouldn't be able to say them. Even these three. Viata mart kulehai, va'alzalt, and you say all these and go on and on and on. What kind of guy was that? Mushal a melech basar v'dam. It's like the mushal for a king of flesh and blood. Shahiyu elef alafim dinari zahav. He has thousands and thousands of dinari zahav, golden dinars. V'hayu mekalsin oso, and you praise him. Bishal kesef v'halo ganayulo, and you praise him that he has some silver. Isn't that a ganayu? Isn't that disgraceful to him? Right? Hashem is infinite. So to praise Hashem, anything you say to Hashem limits him, right? I think there's a medrash I saw where basically there's a competition that the king wanted to want had a few people he wanted to see who's going to give him the best praise, and one of them praises him. So they all try to give him some praises, and one of them says, "Your nose is bent." So he says, "I should kill you. You say my nose is bent." He's like, "No, I'm saying that every single other thing is absolutely perfect. The only thing I could possibly say is your nose is a little bit crooked, but everything else is perfect about the king. But it's really hard to praise. It's impossible to praise God because that once you start, once you pop, the fun don't stop. You can't." Because God's greatness is infinite. The only reason we have a heter is because of Moshe Rabbeinu and Anshe Knesset Gedolah with the Ruach HaKodesh. But for us to do anything more than that, any praise that you give on your own is a limitation of God's actual power. Okay, Vamar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says, it's an important mimer, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim. Everything is in the hands of God except for Yira Shemayim. Rashi elaborates, everything that happens to a person is in Hashem's hands. Kegon aruch katzar. If he's tall, he's short. Ani ashir. Chacham shote. Lovan shachor. Hakol bidei shemayim hu. Avot tzadik v'rasha eino bal yidei shemayim. Right? Es zo moshe bi'adol shel adam. Whether someone's a tzadik or rasha, that's given into his hands. And there are many midrashim that and gemaras that talk about this concept. But nashon lefanav shnei drachim, he's given two paths for who yivchar lo yir shemayim, and he should choose for himself yir shemayim. So everything is in the hands of shemayim except for yir shemayim. That's the only thing that he has on his own. Shnei amar, as the pasuk says, v'ata Yisrael ma Hashem okecha shemayimach kiim lira. Now Yisrael, what does Hashem ask? Are you just that you fear him? Of course, the pasuk does continue to say, "If you other Yiras Hashem Lekecha Leches B'chol Drachav Oliyavo," so and to love him, love Odes Hashem Lekecha. So actually, the pasuk really extends on. Mishnas Hashem discusses that point, but this pasuk is actually being quoted a little bit, quite a bit nowadays because it's an Al Tikri Ma Elameya. So this is like this is the remez to 100 brachos, and so which is one of the things brought down that's a protection from Magefa. So a lot of people are actually discussing this pasuk lately. Right. David Melech instituted the 100 brachos because of a magefa. So anyway, Hashem should protect us all from the magefa. So now the Gemara says, right, so we oversee over here, what does Hashem ask? He only asks for Yira. Yira Shemayim must be that the only thing we have the power to do is Yira Shemayim. Atu Yira Shemayim milsa zutrasahi? Wait, but the way the Moshe phrased it, is it true that that Yir Shemayim is such a small thing? They said, this is all Hashem asks for you. Yir Shemayim, I think that's a big thing. Valam Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Chanina says in the name of Rashbi, Ein lo lo kadosh baruch hu beis gan azav, elo otzer shel Yir Shemayim. Hashem doesn't have anything in his storehouse except for Yir Shemayim. Shana Amar, as it says, Yir Hashem, hi otzro, Yir Hashem is in his storehouse. So if the only thing God has in his storehouse is Yir Shemayim, that sounds like a big thing. That sounds like a big deal. So what do you mean, how can Moshe say, this is all Hashem asks from you? Just a question I have. There's another Gemara that says that Hashem has Shabbos. That's a Matana Tova that he has in his storehouse also. So, right, Moshe Matana Tova Lach Yishuv Beis Ganazar and Shabbos Shema. So, there's another thing he has in the storehouse. That's just a question you could ask me. If you have any answers, let me know. I'll post it in the group and win $100. Okay. So anyway, how do we deal with this? So again, the question is Yir Shemayim a small deal? In Legavi Moshe Milsa Zutrasahi. Yeah, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it's actually a small deal. It was a very easy thing for him to do. I heard a pshat. It's like more of like a Hasidic Jewish, but it's nice that you still have a question like so what's Moshe telling them like Moshe you should know the people that you're talking to and understand their level. So it's not saying that Moshe was on such a high level that he had such great Yir Shemayim that he thought it was small. Rather, legabe Moshe milsa zutrasahi, that when you were in front of Moshe, when you were around Moshe, Yir Shemayim became a very simple, small thing to do. Because you see someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, the great tzaddik, a great Baal Yir Shemayim, it was easy for you to do. So when legabe Moshe milsa zutrasahi, when we're around Moshe, though it doesn't seem to be pshat, especially from the next phrase, though it could be that whoever says that actually defends it with the next phrase as well, but I don't know that I don't know the vart that much. Number of chenina mashal adam shemavakshim imenu kli gadol. It's a mashal is that a person asks for a big kli v'yesh lo duma alav kli katan. But it seems to him like a small kli and a katan and a small person. The ain lo doma love kli gadol, right? But or if you have a small one, if someone only has a small kli, then it's like a kli gadol, meaning that everything is relative, right? If you have small kalim and you want a big one, so you'll say, oh, it's a big one. But for somebody else, if that's his normal size, then he says, oh, that's small. So everything is relative. Okay, modim modim mishatkin. So if he says modim modim, we quiet him down. Amar zera kol amar shema shema kol amar modim modim. Anybody who says shema shema is like they're saying modim modim for similar reasons. In fact, perhaps even more problematic. You're saying Hashem is one. Hashem is one. So maybe it's completely undoing shema. So kol modim modim kol modim modim dummy. It's similar to somebody who says modim modim. Meisve we have a stira hakori es shema v'kofla. Somebody who reads shema and then doubles it. Haris and Maguna, this is a disgusting thing to do. So the Gemara responds, this is Bryce, it says, Maguna hu dehavish tuke lo meshat kinan lei. So it's a disgusting thing to do, it's a ganai, but we don't quiet him for it. Right? The first Bryce said that modim modim, the Mishnah says modim modim, we quiet him down, and also shma is like, the Bryce says shma is like that we quiet him down. Over here we say, no, it's, don't quiet him down, it's just disgusting. So lo kasha, hodamar milsa milsa, Batanila, this is where it's milsa, where he says word by word and then he repeats it. That's where it's disgusting, right? You say word by word, Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, Hashem. That is, it's like making a mockery. It's like Litzan, as Rashi says, of the Shema. But it's not, you know, you're not an apikoros for saying such a thing. It's not heretical. Vaha damar psuka psuka, but if you say pasuk by pasuk, Batanila, and you repeat the pasuk, so that's what we say, you quiet him down, because that's actually heretical. Amar le Rapapa Labaye, Rapapa says to Abaye, V'dil me kar lo kavindaite, lo besok kavindaite. Maybe just, maybe I didn't have kavana when I said Shema the first time, so now he's repeating it. What's wrong with that? Amar le, he says to him, Chavrusa klapi Shemaya? Is Hashem your Chavrusa in heaven? You have a Miika? Is Hashem your buddy in heaven? Ilo kavindaite meikara. If you're just gonna like, you said something you didn't pay attention to, you just say it again. You treat it so lightly. Ilokavin daite meikara machinan le. That if you, no, that's not true. Hashem is not your buddy. If you didn't have kavana meikara, so machinan le bimarzafta denafcha. So we protest and we kind of force him to have kavana adikavin daite with a marzafta denafcha, a smith's hammer. Beat him over there with a hammer until he has proper kavana. But you know, I'm assuming not literally. But we're saying that if someone doesn't have kavana, he doesn't just say, oh, okay, just try again. You're talking to God. Be very careful. Beat him over the head until he has kavana, but don't just like repeat it stam right after, and because that seems heretical, and it's also disrespectful to Hashem. Okay? Yeshua Koach.